have this kosher shas, and they mixed up the dafim and zebor and echadinim and manas back and forth from Zion and Kimmel. So that's why I'm always asking, where are you?
Should I get you a big gemara?
No.
Have another gemara in my office. Connection with the Maharsha that we were learning the other day, that the sons of Reb Chiya, Rebbe told them they should give them wine to drink, and then when they got a little bit drunk, so they said, Moshiach will only come when the two families will no longer be big shots, when Rabbi Yudah Nasi's Nisiyas will end, and the Reish Galusa will end. So the Maharsha gave a whole explanation based on the Medrash Rabba on the Pasuk HaChodesh HaZavachem, that Bnei Yisrael count to the moon and the Goyim count to the sun, so the moon gets bigger, 15 generations from Avraham Avinu till Shlomo HaMelech, till the full moon was shining, and there was only one kingdom, it wasn't split, and it was a Beis HaMikdash, and there was no problem of poverty. And then 15 generations later, it went all the way down from Shlomo HaMelech to Tzidkiyahu HaMelech. Then the moon disappears. So that's Enid Tzidkiyahu either. The Medrash says that they blinded, the Melech Bavel blinded Tzidkiyahu. That represents the fact that the moon disappears. So the moon disappears, the 18 hours, that's the Gemara Rosh Hashanah, Yud Chashos, Mechasi Sihara, and then the moon appears again. But it has to disappear. So that's what, that it can't reappear again. The reappearing again, that's the Bias HaMashiach. Mashiach is from the Malchus Beis David. The moon is only going to reappear if it actually disappears. So that's what the sons of Rav Chiya said, that Kozman you have the Shnei Bati Yavis, Kozman that you have the Nasi Sheberet Yisrael, and the Rish Galusa Shebebovel, that the Gemara said on Daf Hei Amir Aleph, that they're both descendants from the Malchus Beis David. The Rish Galusa is a descendant from the Schorim, and the Nasi Sheberet Yisrael, descendant from the Nekebis. So the moon didn't disappear yet. The moon has to fully disappear, and only then will it be possible that Mashiach can come. That was what the Marshal quoted the Medrash, to explain this Haggadah. I may have mentioned that Rav Soloveitchik said such a drasha on the Haftarah Macha Chodesh. He said, why do we have a Haftarah when tomorrow is Rosh Chodesh? If you have Shabbos, it's Erev Shavuot, so you don't have a special Haftarah. They said the Haftarah, Parshas Bamidbar. If you have Erev Pesach, Chodesh, B'Shabbos, you don't have Shabbos HaGadol. Shabbos HaGadol, you always say special Haftarah. Okay. But you don't have a special Haftarah when it's Erev Rosh Hashanah, Chodesh, B'Shabbos. Or Erev Sukkot Chalias B'Shabbos. Why punct Erev Rosh Chodesh Chalias B'Shabbos? Why then you have Macha Chodesh? So he said that apparently it would appear that one of the main reasons why they institute the Haftarah is to be Mechazik the Emunah and Bias HaMashiach. So a lot of times they pick the Haftarah that talks about Bias HaMashiach, because we say in the Brachas Samchein Hashem Akeinu Be'eliyahu Anog Yavdach Malchus Beis David Mishichecho, that Eliyahu Novi is supposed to come the day before Mashiach. That's how the Gemara and Erevin understand the Pasuk in Malach, in Enecha Shalach Lechem Yisrael Yanovi, Lefnei Boyom Hashem Agorim Hanoira. Boyom Hashem Agorim Hanoira is the day that Mashiach comes. Yanovi is going to come the day before to announce, he's going to appear before the Sanhedrin to announce that tomorrow Melech HaMashiach will appear. Oh, I mentioned that Mr. Lemberg, I didn't mention, I had in mind, Mr. Lemberg is outside today for his father, Rabbi Eliezer, but Rabbi David, so the learning is L'Zecha Nishmasa. We spoke before we started, yeah. So from the Bracha, you see that was one of the main ideas in instituting the Haftarahs, that we should be Mechazik the Emunah and Dias HaMashiach. So why, so Rabbi Soloveitchik pointed out that Yonas and the David were such good friends, so Yonis Amun is the son of David Amel. So he gave over the Malchus to David. If they're such good friends, let David give it over to Yonis. Why does it have to be that Yonis gives it over to David? Because they heard from the Navi that it'll only be there's only a promise that there will be a Gula Hasida if it'll be Malchus based David. It'll be any other Malchus other than Malchus based David. So they didn't hear any promise from the Nevim. So that's why Yonis is prepared to give over the Malchus to David, because he knows that it's only in Malchus son of Cheres, but the Haftacha for Bias HaMashiach is going to be if it's going to be from David HaMelech. So if tomorrow is Rosh Chodesh, if Macha Chodesh, then the moon disappeared for 18 hours. So that Shabbos is the Yud Cheshoes, Machasi Siharo, that Shabbos is from the 18 hours that the moon disappears, that the Gemara Rosh Hashanah talks about. That's the Chazon Ish's essay about the international dateline. It's entitled Kuntres Yudche Shos, because part of his Kuntres is based on that Gemara, that the moon disappears for 18 hours. So the 18 hours of disappearing, that represents the whole Golos that we live in today. Malchus Beis David disappeared for a long, long time. It's more than 18 hours. It's very centuries already. And because that's how the Marsha said over here in the Gemara, only when the Malchus Beis David will totally disappear, there will neither be a Reish Galus, nor there will be anybody who will be running in a leadership position from the Nisian. So then we have the Haftach, the moon will reappear. It's an interesting medrash. So we left off on, I think, Lamed Ches Amin Aleph. The Gemara quotes the pasuk in Mishlei, Chochmas Bansa Beisa Chotzma Amudeho Shiva. So the Gemara interprets that he's referring to the 7 days of Brias HaOilam, Sheshes Mei Braces, that the Ribono Shel Olam created. Why did he create Adam Rishon last? Kedei Sheikonis Lesuda Miyad, Moshe Malach Basa Adam Shabbat Paltim Reb Shichu, and he made a Suda, and then everything was all prepared. Then he invites the guests. You don't have the guests come, and then you put the tablecloth on the table, then you set the table, and then you cook the food, then you shech the behemah. You have everything all prepared, so when the guests are invited, they have to eat right away. So the Gemara is interpreting Chotzva Amudeho Shiva is referring to the 7 days of Bereshis. The Gemara Masechet Shabbos has an additional interpretation that the world rests on the Torah, and there are, we usually assume that there are Chamisha Chumshi Torah. That's why it's called the Chumash, because there are five Chamisha Chumshi Torah. So the Gemara has a Machloikas HaTorah, and we really don't paskin that. It's why we paskin that there are seven. That Chumash Bamidbar is divided into three sections. Up until Vayivin Tzoh Ha'orayn, the two Psukim Vayivin Tzoh Ha'orayn and Berucho Yoyma, that's a Sefer Bifnei Atzma, because you have the Nunim Hafuchim. And the third of Bamidbar is the third. So you should have had Chamishu Chumshi Torah, but Bamidbar is divided into three. So you have another two Chumashim, another two Svarim. We have seven Svarim. So that's what it means. Chotzva Mudeh Shiva, the seven Svarim of Moshe Rabbeinu, Torah Moshe, have seven volumes. The Gemara, how do we know that? We paskin like that halacha. So the Gemara said, because Vehimet Zohar and Mircha Yama has 85 letters, Pehe Oisias. The Gemara says that's the smallest sefer in Tanakh, Pehe Oisias. So if you have a klaf and they started to, let's say you had a sefer Yoina, Yoina is not a sefer, Treyosa, you had a sefer Yecheskel, Yishai, Yumya, whatever, and you had that, all the letters were rubbed out, but you have Pehe Oisias left, you have 85 letters left. So that's enough to be called the sefer Shalom. You have less than 85 letters, then it's not called the sefer. And the 85 letters they got from Vahim and Soha Oren. Dr. Lam once said over a medrash, Yalkut Reuveni. Yalkut Shemani is normal. Yalkut Shemani is one of the Rishonim, made a likut in the days of Rashi, I think before the days of Rashi, made a likut of all the medrash. Yalkut Reuveni is a collection of the Midrashi Pliya, a medrash that does reach me, that does make sense. So it's a likut. So Dr. Lam said over on this week's edra, on the Nunim Hafuchim, that Nun in Aramaic means a fish. Nun Hafach means a fish that swims against the tide. But even Tzohara and Ibn Chayyamar speaks about the fact that the Jewish people are traveling through the Golos, through the different countries, and every country has its own culture, and a lot of these cultures are contradictory to the culture of the Torah. So the Jew, in order to retain the Torah, has to be like a Nun Hafach, has to be able to swim backwards against the tide. Yeah. Then the Gemara says, and I think he had it on, there's a Gemara Masechet Avodah Zarah. When the Gemara has the whole sugya discussing about the kashrus of fish, how do you establish whether fish is kosher? So it says in Chumash, if it has snapa the kaskesa. So the Gemara quotes in the Mishnah. Mishnah says anything that has a kaskesa certainly has a snapa. There are animals, the sea animals that have snapa fins, but it doesn't have scales. So the fins are not really a simikashrus, but the scales, that's a simikashrus. If you have kaskesa, you don't have to look for snapa. So why did the Torah write that you need snapa if it's all kaskesis determines everything? So the Gemara gives an answer. Agla Torah l'hadira. I don't know what the answer is, but the question is a good question. Everything really depends on the scales. So the Gemara says, and the Gemara has at one point, the Gemara I think rejects it, but at one point the Gemara says that in order to establish that a fish is kosher, if it has a spine, if it has a backbone, and it's able to swim against the tide, then it's a simon that it's a kosher fish. So that's what this Medrash Yalkut Ruveni says. It's this week's Sedrim, Bahaloischam, that you have up until Vahib Mitzayah is one sefer, the two psukim is another sefer, and the end of Bamidbar is the third sefer. But our Gemara understands Chotz Ramadeh Shiva are the 6 days of Bereshis with Shabbos also. Chotz Ramadeh Shiva, Elo Shiva is Yimei Bereshis. Baruch Hashem created the whole world, yeah. Then the Gemara comments on the Pasuk. The Adam Rishon fell in with the Eitz Hadas because his wife convinced him that he should eat from the Eitz. Need Pesach Yosehena, he was a fool. He shouldn't have listened to his wife. Isha Omroloi, Noif Isha Chasalev. Yeah, Rashi says on Parshas Nosai, Rashi quotes from the Gemara, Ish Ish Ki Sista Ishtoi. Sista means Tat Men Aderach. Stay vavor, stay. Listos means to go off the beaten track, off the path. But then the Gemara has an additional level of interpretation, as if it would be written, as if it would be read. Kishishte, shayte, ein anam chaytem okay nichnasa baruch shtus. So that's what the Gemara says, that chasalei mipesi yasehena, chasalei vambralei. The wife told him to eat from the Eitz Hadas, and he was stupid, he shouldn't have listened. Yeah, then the Gemara says two lines from the bottom of Lamed Ches Amud Aleph in Sanhedrin. Two lines before the bottom. Adam Rishon called on Kula Hutz Barafora. It says, Ve'ikar Chofa Men Adama. HaKadosh Baruch Hu took Chofa Men Adama. Where did he take it from? So the first time it says, he took from all over the world. What is he trying to bring out? So Rav Soloveitchik has in one of his published essays that if not for the fact that the Ribbono Shel Olam created Adam Rishon from all over the world, man wouldn't be able to acclimate himself in Siberia, or in Honolulu, or in Japan. Ribbono Shel Olam took off from Mikol Olam Kuloi, so human beings can acclimate themselves anywhere in the world. Okay. And then the other, Amraboshia Mishmei Derav, on the bottom line, he makes a suggestion, maybe the different parts of the body, not Mikol Olam Kuloi, maybe Gufa Mibavo Verosha Me'eretz Yisrael Ve'evora Mishar Harotzes. Yeah. What does it mean? Rosham the Eretz Yisrael. Rashi says, Eretz Yisrael is chashuvim mikol harot. Eretz Yisrael is most important place. So the Rosh, the head, you want that the Rosh is the ikar by human being. So maybe, that's what he suggests, maybe the Ribbono Shel Olam took off of Eretz Yisrael and he made the Rosh of Adam Rishon. This is interesting. We usually assume that Eretz Yisrael has chashivus, means that geographic location, that latitude and longitude. But the offer has kedusha in it. The offer has significance. The offer doesn't have any significance. Take offer from Chutz La'aretz and put it on the ground in Eretz Yisrael. Let's say you dig out a big ditch in Eretz Yisrael. Then you take offer from America, you fill up the ditch, then you plant something. It's chayv and trumas and maizes that now became afar Eretz Yisrael. Offer that's in this latitude and longitude, it's called afar Eretz Yisrael. And if you have offer from Eretz Yisrael, you dig it out and you put it, you dig a ditch in America, and you take offer from Eretz Yisrael, put it in the ditch, then you plant something. It's not chayvin trumas and maizes. It goes on the latitude and longitude. What do you mean, the offer? So if the Ribbono Shel Olam took, he detached the offer from the globe. Once he detaches it, does it still have the din? It's still considered a chashivas. Chashuva, Eretz Yisrael, chashuva, mikol harotzes means that latitude and longitude, that geographic location, but not that the offer has any significance, it's problematic. Rabbi Breuer's son, Mark Breuer, he passed away already, he used to tell over the story that the first time he visited Eretz Yisrael, so he took a pebble that was near the coast of Arabi to bring back to America that he should remember Eretz Yisrael. So when he came back, he told his father said, "You mevatel kedusha, what'd you do that for? Kol zman it's in Eretz Yisrael has kedusha. Once he detaches, it doesn't have kedusha." So he said, "What do you mean? But there's a minig. The Gemara says in the Edik Subis, commenting on the pasuk, the concluding pasuk in Shiras HaZinu, it says V'chiper ad Mosai Amoi. So the Pashup Shat is that there'll be a terrible Holocaust, and people will ask me, Amar Elohim Atzucha Soyabar, Shachel Zachem Achel Yishtu Yehne Sichem. People will ask, where was God when this terrible Holocaust was happening? That's what everybody was asking. And then the final pasuk says V'chiper ad Mosai Amoi. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will appease. V'chiper means to be mefayis. He will appease his land, and he will appease the Jewish people. Eretz Yisrael was recognized as a Jewish state after the Holocaust, and then the Jewish people regained their strength. We have yeshivas, although we have more people learning in yeshivas than we ever had. We never had so many people learning in yeshivas. That's the Poshim Shant. So the Gemara has an additional level of interpretation in the end of Ksugas. That's where Rashi writes a homage. That's the Poshim Shant. And then the Gemara has an additional level of interpretation. The Chiper Ad Masai Amai. That when a Jewish person is in Eretz Yisrael, he gains a mechilas havainas, means if he does tshuva. That's what the Pnei Yeshua writes over there. The Minchas Aluza was the main anti-Zionist before the Second World War, so he writes that his ancestor, the Pnei Yeshua, writes on that Gemara that the secular Zionists think that they're going to get a mechilas havainas by going to Eretz Yisrael. They're not going to do tshuva. There isn't going to be any mechilas avayin. Mechilas avayin is only Yom Kippur is not mechap unless you do tshuva. And the Rambam says Malkus is not mechap without tshuva. Mises Bezin is not mechap. A person dies on a natural death. Mises is only mechap if a person does tshuva. Bring a korban, it's only mechap with tshuva. Zeritzel is only mechap also with tshuva. The Gemara says v'chit prab nosa ama on two levels. A person moves to Eretz Yisrael, he does tshuva, means, and then he lives in Eretz Yisrael. So then he gets mechilas avodas. And if a person died in chutz lo'etz and they bury him in Eretz Yisrael, that's less than mechilas avodas. In a daima, the Gemara says, in a daima kol tasa lacham isa v'kol tasa mechaim. One who comes while he's alive and lives in Eretz Yisrael, he gets a greater mechilas avodas. So the Gemara says that there's such a concept of afar Eretz Yisrael is mechaper. So the minig developed, it comes from the Rishonim, I think. I think the Shachni every day quotes it from Rishonim. They would take offer from Eretzel a little packet full, they would throw it on the body on different parts, and they would bury the person in the chutz lords. So once you detach it from Eretzel, no longer has the status of Afar Eretzel. So what do you accomplish? How is that Bechipa Ad Masai Amai? So apparently the minig, this is a very old minig for centuries already. The Shachs, they lived in the 1600s, he quotes it from the Rishonim, that you take offer from Eretzel and you put it on different parts, Chevah Kadisha puts it on different parts of the body before they bury it. So you see that it still maintains the significance of Afar Eretz Yisrael. That's what Agamara says. The Baruch Shalom took the offer from Eretz Yisrael, and he made the Rosh from the offer. Yeah. And then the rest of the body, he made from different parts. Body made from Bobo, body made from Akra de Agma. Okay. Then the Baruch Shalom says, what happened the first day Adam Rishon was created? Shtei Masu Shos Habi Hayoim. The 12 hours in the daytime of the day. So the Baruch Shalom did this first hour, second hour, so on. Then the Gemara says, and Adam Rishon was created, he was Nitztave, Shalom Lechem, Chias, on the first wide line, on Lamed Chesam base. Chias, Nitztave, Shalom Lechem, and Eilam, Asiris Sarach. That's right. He couldn't even hold that for 1 hour. Adam Rishon sinned an hour after he was instructed not to eat from the Eitz Hadas. Then it was already chased out of Gan Eden immediately. Such a desire to sin. People have such a desire to sin. People think the grass is greener on the other side. Pasuk describes all the trees in Eitz Hadas, all the trees in Gan Eden looked delicious. They all tasted delicious. They were all the same. But because he was prohibited from eating the Eitz Hadas, so he thought that that's going to be tastier than the others. Turns out it wasn't tastier. Yeah. The grass is always green on the other side. People think that whatever they're withheld from enjoying, that must be better. Then the Gemara says he consulted the Malachim whether he should create Adam Rishon or not. Rashi and Chumash quotes another Medrash. Kach ofer min Adama. Here the Gemara says ofer min Adama from the whole globe. Bikol Halam Kuloi. Next Tana says, Rab says, the head from Eretz Yisrael, different parts in different places. Rashi and Chumash quotes a different Medrash that disagrees with this. Ofer min Adama means Mimakam hamizbeach, mizbach adama tasali. The Rebbe Shlom took off a min adama, mimakam hamizbeach, alavash tehilo kapor. That man should be have the ability, man has the chirach options to choose to do mitzvahs or others. Then, not only do we have chirach options to choose to do right or wrong, have chirach options to do tshuva also, to strengthen, even if you made a bad choice, have chirach options to pull ourselves out of the mess and to do tshuva. So that's often min ha'adama, mimakam mizbach ha'adama tasali. Alamashe tehelo kapor. That man has the ability to do tshuva. That's why in the Shemoneh Esrei, the first bakosha that we ask for, you have Gimel Rishon Es HaShevach, and the Gimel Achronis is Hodoyah, we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In the middle is Bakosha Sarachav. So the first Tzorach that we ask for, Chaneinim Yitchadei Abinim HaSkel, the whole difference of the human being from everybody else, from all the other animals that we have Seich on the Behemoth don't. So we ask, we should have the Koyach to act like human being, Chaneinim Yitchadei Abinim HaSkel. Then the next bracha is, Hashveinu Avinu Sarasecha. We should be able to exercise our ability as human beings to do tshuva. That's built in. Often men adama means the ability to do tshuva, according to the Medrash that Rashi and Chumash quotes. So it could be that's the reason why that was the very next bakosha in the Shemoneh Esrei. Anyway, the Gemara says he couldn't even hold that 1 hour. He sinned the very next hour. Then the Gemara says, "Ein chay rosh shalet is bottom alankei nidma lo kabeim and nimshal kabeim is nidma." Yeah. When a person was man, we usually assume man has tzelem alakim. When a person sins, so he ruins that tzelem alakim. So the behemoths look at him; he doesn't. They don't see the tzelem alakim. So then they're shalat on him. And chayro shalat is bottom alakim did maloke behema. In Europe, in the days of the Rishonim, they started days of the early Achronim. I think they started a minute to name people after animals. Zeiv. And Ari, Nomer, I never heard. But Chamor, I never heard. Sus, I never heard. But Zev and Ari, these are names. Why? Because they would be going on the highway, and they would sometimes be attacked by animals, by wild animals. So they would give the child a name as if he's an animal, so the animal shouldn't start up with him. That's not the way the Gemara presents it. Gemara says, if he's Nidma Kibbehem, the opposite. If he appears like a behemoth to the animal, then the animal is going to start up with him. Nimshok behemoth nitmu, then the animal starts up. But that's the reason why they started giving those kind of names. The Gemara said, Rabbeinu Shlom consulted with the angels. That's why it says, Nasa Odom Bitzalmein in the plural. Nasa Odom in the plural, yeah. They quote the famous story. They say that the Beis HaLevi, when he was a child, they asked him a question. What does he think is more important, the midas taibas or hashkafas, deus taibas? So he said he thinks that midas taibas is more important because nasa odam bitzalmenu can be understood, Rashi and Chumash points, that can be understood in two ways. Nasa odam, you can misunderstand it into meaning that there's more than one God. So the gods got together. Vayom alakim, the gods got together and said, let's decide whether they're going to create a human being. That's not true. We say Hashem Echad, there's only one God. So why does it say Nasa Adam Tzalmeinu? To teach us humility, that even the Ribbono Shel Olam consults with the angels. He didn't listen to the angels. The angels gave the wrong advice, so he didn't listen to them. But he consults with the angels. So to teach us that even if we think we're as smart as God himself, we should also consult with the less intelligent people. So the Ribbono Shel Olam ran a risk over here. He put in the Chumash Nasa Adam in the plural, in order to teach us this Mida Toiva, the lesson of humility, even though he's running the risk that a person may become an apikiris and think that there's more than one God. So you see that the Rabban Shalom felt that Midas Toivas are more important than Deus Toivas. That's the... Sometimes when people have to choose where to send their children, so you don't have a yeshiva that has all the milos. Sometimes one yeshiva has wonderful hashkafas, but the students are wild Indians. They don't teach them any midas. The other yeshiva, they have midas tavas, and they're only 24 hours in the day. There are only so many hours that the rabbeim have an influence on the students. So either they teach them midas, or they teach them gemara, or they teach them deus. So if it's a toss-up between the yeshiva, where they're going to emphasize midas, and the yeshiva is going to emphasize deus, that's what the Beis HaLevi said. That we shouldn't be a toss-up. We should really have yeshiva where they emphasize equally
Maybe a little tangential, but we just been discussing the creation of the world and the creation of Adam specifically, and we talk about the angels. So why wasn't the creation of the angels even mentioned in the Torah? The Torah at this point is just Nasa Adam B'Tzalmenu, assumes that the angels already exist without describing their creation.
Right.
So why would it be?
The Ramban on the beginning, Chumash says, "Bereshis v'alokim es ha-shamayim." The word "shamayim" has two meanings. The "shamayim" sometimes means the heaven, and sometimes means the sky. So in the opening pasuk, it means "shamayim es ha-aretz." God created the heavens, the olam haruchni, and the earth, and then everything that follows is all aretz. Even when it says that God created the sun, the moon, the stars, that's aretz. That's not "shamayim." It's called "shamayim" in it. Baruch Hashem put the sun and the moon and the stars and the shamayim, but it's a shamayim in the sense of the sky, not the sense of the heavens. So the Chumash doesn't discuss the details of the bria of shamayim, of the heavens. That's the shayla that says, HaShamayim, Shamayim LaShem, V'Horas Nosan, L'Vnei Adam. That the human beings are supposed to be on the earth. So when they sent the man to the moon, there used to be a fellow, he passed away already, Scheinberger. He used to always come to America to raise money for the Eid Acharedis, for Yerushalayim, for the Anim in Yerushalayim. So when he came to Rav Soloveitchik, so Rav Soloveitchik said, "What do you mean? I'm going to give you money. You're going to use my money to hang up signs attacking me." So he said, "No, that's from a different fund. That's paid for from a different fund." Had a good sense. You know? So he gave him a large, he used to give him large donations because he said he supports his family, he supports the Soloveitchik family. He gives to all the Anim and Eretz Yisrael, you know. So he used to enjoy talking to Rav Soloveitchik. So he said when they sent the man to the moon, so the people in Meir Sharim thought that it couldn't be. The beginning of Sukkah seems to assume literally that man can never reach the moon. That's what it sounds like to me. So Rav Soloveitchik said it doesn't mean that. Shemayim Shemayim Lashem refers to the heavens. And the sky is part of Ha'aretz, like the Ramban Chumash says, that the sun, the moon, the stars, and all of this is all Aretz. This is Shemayim in the sense of the sky, but it's not Shemayim in the sense of the heavens. And that pasuk, HaShemayim Shemayim Lashem, that refers to the heavens. Right? So he was so appreciative, so he called up, he said the people are losing their Amun and their Shem. So he called them up, and he told them, Rav Soloveitchik said, Shem. So he calmed everybody down. And the other people didn't believe it. They thought it's all a hoax. It can't be that God wouldn't allow such a thing. HaShemayim, Shemayim, Hashem. Yeah, so the word Shemayim, the Ramban has, at the beginning of Chumash, it said, the word Shemayim has two different meanings. Yeah, then the Gemara says, the Baruch Hashem created the world, even though people are going to sin. They sin. The Rabban Shalom has a lot of savlonas. The Rabban Shalom has a lot of savlonas. People sin and they sin, and generations sin. Then the Gemara says how tall Adam Rishon was, and after he sinned, Kimish Sorach, after he sinned, after the sin, then he became normal size. But originally he was much taller. Shedema Ochav Akedem Tzartana Batoshas Alai Kapecha. When Adam Rishon was first created as Ochav Akedem Tzartani, and afterwards Batoshas Alai Kapecha, he was made to normal size. What does he mean, Ochav Akedem Tzartani? What does Rashi say? Ochav Akedem, Rashi writes the third line from the top in the Rashi. Shnei tzura is du partzufim. The Gemara has a machlekes whether that's so. Here the assumption Rashi is assuming the Adam and Chava were created together, and when vayikach achas mitzalos, it does mean that he made Chava from a rib. He separated them. They were always like that. They were du partzufim. Shadis, when they do patsufim, what direction were they facing? Were they back to back? Facing an opposite direction. That's how the Gemara Brachas understands. The Gemara Brachas that Rashi tells you, Samach Aleph. Someone else put in the Marmot Kamis. Rashi didn't put it in. So Brachas Samach Aleph. Gemara assumes that they were back to back. Or the Marishim was looking forward and Chava was looking backward. Ocher, Vakedem, Tzartani. Chava was looking Ocher, Adam was looking Kedem. In the Zohar, there is a contradiction about whether, on the assumption that Adam and Chava would do partzufim, were they facing in the same direction, both in the same direction, or were they in opposite directions? So the letter Tzadik, according to the Zohar, is supposed to have Shnei Roshin on top, two heads, and then has each head has a neck that attaches it to the body. The two ways to make a Tzadik. That's the difference, that's the main difference between the Ksav Ari and the Ksav Beis Yosef. They're two different ways to write Ksav Ashuris. So the Tzadik is one of the major differences, and the Ches is the other difference. Is it Vav Zayin or is it Zayin Zayin? So the Tzadik is the contradiction in the Zohar is the source of this issue, whether the two heads are facing in the same direction, the way the normal, the way Ksav Beis Yosef is, you have a head, you have a yud, and on the right side there's a head. No choke. No, okay. So you have both necks are on the right side, and the both heads are facing in the same direction. And according to the Ksav Ari, the two necks are in the middle, and the one head is facing the back, and one head is facing the front. So this is based on that passage in the Zohar, that the du patzufim were facing opposite direction. That's how the Gemara says in Brachas Dav Samach Aleph. The Gemara says that on this pasuk, Ocha Bekedem Tzatani, Chava was looking behind, Adam Arishan was looking forward. A quote from the Vilna Gaon, that maybe the Vilna Gaon himself wrote it. I think the Chiburim on the Kabbalah were written by the Gra himself. All the other Sifri Agra were written by Tambidim, except on Kabbalah he wrote himself. So the Gra says that the teretz to this theory is that Kodem Achet or Lachar Achet. Kodem Achet, Adam Achava were looking in the same direction. People were not so egotistical that everybody's out for himself, pulling in a different direction. The whole world was Safa Achas Ador Machodim, that Adam Achava had the same interest. And after the Chet, then people are all out for themselves. They're selfish, everybody's out for themselves. So then the two heads were looking in opposite directions. So the Tzadik should be, according to the way it was, Kodem Achet. We should have both heads facing in the same direction. Like the Ksav Beis Yosef, not like the Ksav Ari. That's what the Vilna Gaon said. Rav Soloveitchik said that as he gets older, he becomes more cynical. And so he says he can't even imagine that even Kodem Achet, they were ever working together. People are so selfish, he thinks it's hard to believe, even Kodem Achet, that they were ever facing in the same direction.
Does this have to do with Rav Soloveitchik's Adam 1 and Adam 2?
No.
No. That's
different.
That's not a physical anatomy.
Yeah. No, it's a different thing. Ocha v'kedem tzatani, v'toshes alai kapecha. Yeah. Kim shesorach, after Adam sinned. Yeah. Then iridi chodamidi, it's the same thing. From one end of the earth to the other is the same distance as from the earth to the sky. Not the same distance. Yeah. We don't know what distance yet.
So Adam and Chava, they're together before the sin. So why did Adam tell Chava what HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, that she wouldn't come to eat from the fruit?
He told her that she shouldn't eat from the fruit.
Yeah, but wasn't he there when she was listening to the Nachash?
Oh, when the Nachash told her to eat.
She would have been there when Hashem told him.
Yeah.
Right.
I don't know. There's a lot missing in the story. Every story in Tanakh is missing. It's 99% of the story. I don't know. We don't know what this means. What does the Gemara say? The Gemara says that the world was created by Yom Alekim, by Yom Alekim. What language did the Rabbanu Shalom speak? What language? So the Gemara says, the Rashi Al-Chumash quotes that the world was created by Loshna Kodesh. That's why it's called Loshna Kodesh. Because Shabbo Nivra Ha'olam, the world was created by Loshna Kodesh. But Yom Elokim was Loshna Kodesh. Yiddish Gemara says, is there any mila to any other language? Or do you just have Loshna Kodesh and everything else? let's say a person, it's a Kriya Shema translation. So there's a Machloek Zatanoim. With the Shema B'chol Loshna Shato Shemea, Shema HaShema V'yoznecha, So Shema doesn't mean Hashma liyoznecha, it means Shema b'choloshen shatu shameya. That's what Rav Soloveitchik used to say, You yotze Kriyashman translation, but it has to be an accurate translation. So everybody translates, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." So he said, "Hear, O Israel," is incorrect translation, because the Gemara says Shema does mean Hashma liyosnach. Hashma means Choloshen Atoshamei. It means understand. Atoshamei doesn't mean do you hear. It means do you understand. So here, that's an inaccurate translation. That's what Rabbi Ephraim Zalman Margolius lived at the time that the Reform changed the language of the davening. They changed to German. So he said, we don't have to ask the Rabbonim, because it's a Beferish Adin and Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch quotes from the Gemara that when you daven mitzibur, when you daven biyochid, you can't daven in Loshan Aramis. Ei malachi asher es makirim Loshan Aramis. When you daven mitzibur, you don't need the malachim to present the tefillahs to the Rabban Shalom. The tefillahs go directly to the Rabban Shalom. Hein kel kabir lo yimos. Hein HaKadosh Baruch Hu mois b'tefillahs Aram. That's a Gemara in Sota, Perek El Namar. So what does it mean? Tosi says, what do you mean? The angels understand every language, they don't understand Aramaic. How can that be? If they understand all the other languages, they should understand Aramaic. So the Shulchan Aruch, in Shulchan Aruch, the Mishnah Berurah quotes from the Ravid in the Balei HaNefesh. The Ravid writes, not in the Balei HaNefesh, Ravid in the Tmindein, in the collection of Chulas. So he says, it doesn't mean Aramis, it means then the vernacular. And that in Bavel, the vernacular was Lashon Aramis. So the guy doesn't even care that his tefillah should be accepted. He doesn't go out of his way at all. Just davens in the same way he speaks on the street in the vernacular. Like there used to be a balabasi he learned he was from Hungary. He learned by the Satmar Rebbe, he learned in Hungary. So he said, when they walked in the street, they spoke Hungarian. When they spoke to each other, they spoke to the goy. When they learned in the yeshiva, they didn't learn Hungarian. It's a bizarre to the Torah. They learned in Yiddish. They learned they had a special language. Or let's say the Jews in the Spanish countries had Ladino. Ladino was also a blend, I think, of Hebrew. And it wasn't straight Spanish. It was unique for the Jews. Like Yiddish was unique for the Jews. So that's what the Ravid learns, that it's not proper to daven in the vernacular. He didn't go out of his way at all. He just speaks to the Ribbono Shel Olam in the same language that it's spoken in the street. So... So to daven in German, if you live in Germany, to daven in German is like davening in Aramaic. So that's not right if you're davening biyachid, but if you're davening b'tzibah, so then the Gemara said there's no problem. The tzibah can daven b'loshna aramis, because hein kel kabir lo imas, hein HaKadosh Baruch Hu mois b'tfilos arabim. So that wouldn't pose a problem. The original reformer really, they were more observant than many of the Orthodox rabbis today, but they made the same mistake that they didn't consult. They're making a major change. They're going to change the language of the davening, and they didn't consult the Gedolei Hador. They knew that they weren't the Gedolei. They knew that Chassam Sofer, Rabbi Kiveger, Rabbi Ephraim Zalman Margolius, and others, they knew that they were the Gedolei Hador. They didn't consult them. So Rabbi Ephraim Zalman Margolius, so all of the Gedolei were opposed to this change for various reasons. So Rav Ephraim Zalman Margolius has a tshuva. Rav Ephraim Zalman Margolius was a businessman. He was a successful, wealthy businessman. He lived in Brod. The rabbi in Brod is the one who wrote the Sefer on Chulin, Lev Aryeh. But he wasn't as famous as the Balabos. The place of Ephraim was more famous. The businessman said, Rav Ephraim Zalman Margolius has a separate tshuva, not printed in the Beis Ephraim, where he's opposed to davening in German. So he thinks that on the occasion of Migdal Bavel, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shom Balala Hashem Sfas Kol Ha'aretz, so Rashi quotes from the Medrash, that at that time HaKadosh Baruch Hu instituted the Shivim Lashon, so he thinks that you can only be Yotzei Kriyas Shma translation, the Allah only recognizes the Shivim Lashon. So he thinks that German is not from the Shivim Lashon. German is borrowed a little bit from this Lashon, a little bit from that Lashon. It's not one of the original Shivim Lashon. That's a big Kiddush. English for sure is not from the Shivim Lashon. So you can't be Yotzei Kriyas Shma translation into English. The Halacha doesn't recognize all spoken languages. The Pashto says any spoken language is a language. Question, how many people have to speak the language? That's a question. Let's say you and I have our own language. We made up our own language, so no one else understands what we're saying. So is that called a language? I'm going to say Kriyas Shma in that language. That's Radovel Soloveitchik. They quote in the Shiurim of Radovel Nazir. So in the first Mishnah, so he has that suffix. How many people have to speak the language that is to be recognized by the halacha as a language? That you Yotzei that a neder is iris. It's not chal b'machshava. You need levate b'sosayim. Has to speak in a language. How many people have to speak the language? That's what Shailen did. How many people have to write? Let's say you have an alphabet. So the halacha recognizes all the Shailen Shabbos. But if the person makes a picture, he draws a picture, is that chayv or not? So the Rambam says that tzor tzura is chayv. Not only chayv, that's called roshim. Roshim is also chayv. Aitza machlekes hatanoim in the Mishnah Shabbos. So the Rambam holds the machlekes hatanoim is which is the av and which is the tolda, but they all agree that roshim is chayv and kosev is chayv. What's the difference? Which is that? Which is the tolda? So the Rambam and the Pirush HaMishnayis explains it. Epsalachapanav kemina. What if we'll do kalachayad? If roshim is the yav, so roshim you can do just as easily with the left hand as with the right hand. If the av malacha is kosev, you're writing letters. So if you're a righty, it's going to be sloppy. If you're going to write with the left hand, it'll be kalacha yad. But if you hold roshim is an av malacha, then you can even do rishimis with the left hand. It'll be just as clear as with the right hand.
Why is language a din and how many people speak it? If you know what you mean and you utter phrases, you know Hashem is going to understand what you're.
That's a question, right? The person takes a neder, so maybe one person. Maybe you don't need the whole community. Rav Avraham Soloveitchik was a mesupik, how many people. You look in the back of the Gemara's Nazir, the normal Gemara, so they have one of the Achraim has Orach Misha. So the Orach Misha has Divrei Torah printed on Nazir. So he quotes from, I think, from Yerushalmi, that even if one person makes up his own language, when I say no, I mean yes. When I say yes, I mean no. When I say chocolate bar, I mean potatoes chip. And I say potato chip, I mean chocolate bar. He says, I take a neder that I will eat chocolate bars. It means that I'm not taking a neder that I won't eat potato chips. He makes up his own language. So he says that that's also good. You don't need any minimum number of people have to. But Rav Avraham Soloveitchik not say just was a mesupik. How many people have to speak the language?
I don't remember. You see all kinds of slang words used. The Gemara uses anything that sort of means what you...
It sounds like it is, that it is a good neder, it is a good shul, even though they made up their own words, yeah. Yeah. So how can you say it's only the Shivim Loshim? Here they made up their own words. According to Rav Chaim Zalman Golias, anything other than Shivim Loshim is not called the spoken language. It's not called the language, it's just gibberish. He didn't say anything. So how when a person takes it, he says, Koinim. Koinim is a word that was made up by the rabbis. Koinim means a korban. They made up their own word. It is good, unless you say it makes up a word. So some say it's loshin shebaruch hachamim. So it's not a nedem in a Torah. It's only a nedem in a rabbon. Some rishonim say it like that. Loshin shebaruch hachamim is not a nedem in a Torah. That's a chiddush. And writing is a machlekes whether the halacha recognizes every alphabet. See, according to the Rambam, if you draw a picture, you also chayim al Shabbos. So you don't have to have any alphabet. According to Rashi. Where Rashi learns the Mishnah, it's a machlokes hatanaim. We paskin that roshim is not chayv. If he drew a picture, not chayv. Only if he writes shtei oisias from a language. So how many languages does halacha recognize? So the pashta, any written language, any language that has an alphabet, halacha recognizes. So you write shtei oisias in Latin alphabet also, Arabic, Chinese, Japanese, whatever written language you would accept. Some Rishonim hold, that's in Shulchan Aruch, they quote that opinion. Some Rishonim hold, but a minority opinion, that the Allah only recognizes two written alphabets, Ksav Ashuris and Ksav Yevonis. Only those two. Where they get that from? Because the Mishnah in Megillah says you can only write a Sefer Torah in Ashuris or Yevonis. You can't write in any other alphabet. And the Mishnah Gittin talks about writing a Get. The Mishnah instead talks that the Get is written Boloshan. Biksav Ashuris and the signatures Biksav Yevonis is good. But the get is written Biksav Yevonis and the signatures Biksav Ashuris is good. Why doesn't it give Parsis and other alphabets? So these Rishonim say that Halach only recognizes two written alphabets, only Biksav Ashuris and Biksav Yevonis. That's the Mishnah Berurah and the Aruch HaShulchan both upset. Why the Rambam quoted that LaHalacha? The Gemara says, if you buy Zionism, it's such a big mitzvah, Mishin Bishab, Eretz Yisrael. So if a Jew buys a farm or a house from a non-Jew in Eretz Yisrael, so it's called Yishab Eretz Yisrael, he's buying it from the Goy, it's in Jewish hands. So you're allowed to write the document, the Shtar Mechira, on Shabbos. Such a big mitzvah, you're allowed to be Mechal Shabbos. What are you talking about? lad be machal Shabbos, but by leir from a goy. Gemara says, Amir Leakum, you're permitted to ask a goy to write the document of Shabbos. And even though Amir Leakum is a gzeir de rabbanon, Shemisha Beretz Yisrael Eitiru, that's the Gemara Gitan Dafches. So the Baluita understands when that Gemara Amir Leakum is always mutter by Mokam Mitzvah. Any Mokam Mitzvah is mutter. And the Mishnah and the Ramah in Shulchan Aruch quotes an obscure opinion from Rishonim that the only time it's mutter is if it's the shvuz from Makom Mitzvot, the shvuz. The goy is going to write the document in Arabic or in English letters. He's not going to write it in Chinese letters. He's not going to write neither in Ksav Ashuris nor in Ksav Yevanis. So writing in any other alphabet other than Ashuris or Yevanis is only Ksivim Midirabbanim because it's Roshem. Roshim, according to Rashi, is a machlok zatanaim, and we would pass from that it's only the rabban, it's not their rice. So Mela, Amir Beakum is mutter to buy Yishumish Haritzel Etiru is only if he's writing in a Shar Lushainus, other than Yabonis alphabet and other than Ksav Ashuris alphabet. So the Mishnah Berurah is very upset about that. He says, we don't pass him like that. We pass him as mutter, even Ksav Ashuris. Hashulchan thinks that it's a forgery. He thinks that the Ramon never wrote it. The printer changed the text of the Ramah. He said, you can't even believe that the Ramah wrote it. So they both say we shouldn't follow that opinion.
Chinese is not an alphabet, though.
What is pictures?
It's pictures. Everything is a Roshan. They represent things.
Uh-huh. So it's not even an alphabet.
No. Not in the sense that we have.
Uh-huh. So they're probably, according to Rashi, the whole Chinese would not be. That there's no alphabet at all that you join together letters to make word, so it wouldn't be chayv on Shabbos. Yeah. Anyway, so the Gemara has here about Loshon Aramis. Does Loshon Aramis have any special status in writing? We say that Ksav Ashuris and Ksav Yevonis are considered with. That's for Sefer Torah, stuff like that. We assume that writing in any alphabet is derais. And in speaking, Rabbi Chaim Zalman Gaon had this wild chiddush that only the Shivim Loshon count, others not. So the Gemara says, Ksav Aram, that the language of Adam Rishon, but Loshon Aram is Siper. He spoke to the Baal Shem, and he created the world. Gemara says he created everything by Yom HaLakim, was in Hebrew. And Adam Rishon spoke Aramaic. Leave my Yokru Yechakel. Yokru is Aramaic. So Aramaic has a special status. Aramaic has a special status different from the other. Hebrew has a special status. A person is in fulfillment of Kriya Shema if he recites in the Hebrew, even if he doesn't understand. Other languages, you run a Yotze if you understand. That's a Mikra Megillah, it says like that. If you read the Megillah Ashuris, even one who doesn't understand Ashuris is Yotze. If you read the Megillah in any other language, it's written, the Megillah is written in another language. So if you read the Megillah in any other language, if you read giftis le giftim and modis le modim, if you read for the people who understand it, it's called the targum. Any other language is called the targum. So whoever doesn't understand it is not yours. What about Aramaic? If you read them, if the Megillah is written Aramaic, you're yours, even if you don't understand Aramaic, probably not. We assume Aramaic is like Shabbos Shanis. What is the significance? They are singling out. The Mauritian, does it have any special significance? The Mauritian spoke Aramaic, therefore, it has a higher Aramaic, has a higher level. There's a machlokes, the Rambam and the Rav in Hilchas Gerushin, they have two girsas in a Tosefta. What if you write a get b'shtei l'shoinus? Part of the get is in Hebrew, part of the get is in English. Let's say when you have goyish names, so we always write the whole get in Hebrew. So you have, his name is Charles. How do you write ch? In Hebrew, there is no ch. So they write tefshin, ch. Others write the tzaddik with a an apostrophe, for chip. But so what do you have to break your head to figure out how to write Charles? Write to get in Hebrew when it comes to the name. You write his name is Charles, and his father's name is Benedict. Whatever. So what do you have to break your head to figure out how? That's usually the issue when you write a get. Everything is worked out. Right, the whole text is worked out. Just the Seamus. You have to figure out how do you write the Seamus in English. So write the Seamus in English. So the reason why we don't do that would solve the whole problem. The reason why we don't do that, because of the Rambam. The Rambam, Hilchas Gerushin, had the Gerushin and the Tosefta, that a get shenichta b'shtei l'shoinus is not acceptable. There's no hemshah from one alphabet to the other. That's what I mentioned. One of the Ungarisha Rabbanim had a chiddush, that if the ksuba, I'm going to a wedding later today, so if the ksuba is printed in block letters, then you fill in the missing names and the date in script. So that's two different alphabets. One is Ksav Ashuris and one is script. So according to the Rambam, there's no hemshech between one script and the other, between one alphabet and the other, because they're two different alphabets. The Aleph in Ksav Ashuris is written one way, and the Aleph in Ksav Meshita, what they call script, is written a different way. The base is also different. Gimel, everything is different. All the letters are different in block letters in the Ksav Ashuris. And one of the Rabbanim thought that that's the same as a Gep Bishdei Lashonis. So the Rabbi is Masig on the Rama. The Rabbi thinks that the Rama had an incorrect use in the Tosefta. A more correct use is that Bishdei Lashonis, it is good. But we're Machmer for that Rama, so we don't have. In davening, they were always Mekel in Europe. The Tzaddikim always used to add on in the davening in Yiddish, even though the whole Shemoneh Esrei is in Hebrew, they would add on in Yiddish. The Chafetz Chaim and the Chassidish Rebbes, they all added on in Yiddish. So we can add on in English also. But when a get is a din deraisa, so Nachman the get, like the Rambam sheet, the get b'shtei l'shanis is no good. Nonetheless, the Rambam points out, the get, every get is b'shtei l'shanis. Part of the get is in Hebrew, part of the get is Aramaic. So for Choshish, for the Rambam, that a get shenichta b'shtei l'shanis is no good, that was his gears and the Tosefta. So how do we use our text of the get? It always has b'shtei l'shanis. Part of it is Hebrew, part of it is Aramaic. So the Ramah says, no, it's a third language. It's not Hebrew, it's not Aramaic, it's Rabbinic Hebrew. It's a third style. Like the Rashba, the Balei HaTosis. The Balei HaTosis. It's not half of the Tosis in Hebrew, half of the Tosis Aramaic. That's called Rabbinic Hebrew. It's a third language.
Didn't the Ramah say, like what the person who says that black letters in the script are different, meaning it's a din in the font, it's a din in the script. You write an Aramaic word, but you're not writing it in a different script. You're writing in the same script as Ashuris. If the din in how it looks and the different letters you use, then it'd be
the same. The Rambam only meant b'shtei l'shonis if it's different script.
Right, but you're writing New York in the same script. It's not a Hebrew word. You didn't make it a Hebrew word. It's still an English word. It's just using Hebrew script.
Right.
So if it's a din in the script, then it shouldn't be a shiloh about Aramaic and Hebrew.
Right. I don't know. Is it only a din in the script? Is it also a din in the language? I don't know.
You assume New York's a Hebrew word then?
No. That's the name is New York. Right. That is the name in any language. You don't translate a name. The name is the name in any language. Like Moshe Rabbeinu, name is Moshe. Does become Moses in English. There's no translation for a name.
Israel is Eretz Israel. They're different things.
Right. Sure.
It's not always.
Is no translation, right? That's what Rav Moshe Soloveitchik said. When you say Kriya Shema in translation, so you can't say Hashem Elokeinu. That's a shame. Etzem. So there's no... We are Hashem Moshe Lema. And the Lord spoke unto Moses saying, what do you mean? Moses. His name was Moshe. There's no translation for a proper noun. So there's no translation. For the Zayin Shem, Shem and Mechokim, the seven names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, those are names. Those are not descriptions. It's not an adjective. That's not a description of Elokus. That is the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So he said, even when you say Kriya Shema in translation, you have to say the Shem Hashem in the original. You had a raya from a Gemara in the Afike Yam has this kasha. There's a Gemara in Soito. But the Gemara says they were mashke the Saita, and when she took the Shvua, she had to take the Shvua in a language that she understands. She doesn't have to take the Shvua dafke in Hebrew. She doesn't have to say what it says in the Chumash, as long as you say a good translation. But the Gemara says nonetheless that she always says the Shem Hashem. I think the Gemara says she says the Shem Am Farish when she takes the Shvua. So the Tikayam asks, why does she have to say the Shem Farish? Let her say in translation. So that's why Moshe Soloveitchik said there is no translation for names. Moshe is Moshe. And Elokim is Elokim. And Yudke Vavke is Yudke Vavke. You can't translate it. Proper nouns can't be translated. So New York is a proper noun. So there's no translation. That is the name in Hebrew in any language. It's not B'shtei
L'shonis. According to the Rambam, you get into real problems with words that can't be pronounced in Hebrew. So
right.
The Chumra comes out of the Kula. To some extent, yeah.
So that's why we always break our heads.
They break your head.
Right.
If you go straight, then that's the name. You have no choice.
Yeah, that would have been easy to write all the French names in French and the names of the cities. You write it the way it's written in English. But we don't do that. We write the whole get that's written in Hebrew characters and Savashuris. We try to figure out how to transliterate. How do you which letters in the Hebrew script that we use to represent certain sounds that don't exist in the ch and j, Jacques. How do you transliterate? How do you write that in Hebrew? Right. So we transliterate everything.
So bottom line, are we concerned for writing in different scripts, like someone uses regular cursive, or someone uses Savashuris for part of the get, you mix and match? We are concerned for that?
I don't know. It's a good question. That's what this Hungarian rabbi wrote, that if the Ksuba, the printed text of the Ksuba is in block letters, and Ksav Ashur is, so then you should fill it in block letters. You shouldn't fill it in script. Everybody fills it in script.
What does Rabbi do at weddings?
Ksuba is not such a big deal. The get is a problem. Yeah.
Like davening, when they come on the davening to daven half in English and half in Hebrew. So the ksuba, nishgefela, don't worry so much. The get, but more worried about, yeah.
Do they even have to personally sign, or could they sign a sofer to sign for them in writing the Savashuri?
Signing is not such a problem. The Gemara says that Rav Tzir Kavro, Rav, instead of signing his name, would draw a picture of a fish. If a person has a symbol, and everybody knows when he writes that symbol, that's called, that's his signature, so that's acceptable. So if you write your name in script and whatever, it should be loigora from a symbol. Shouldn't be a problem.
But for the other parts, though, like the date and the place,
should what?
For the date and the place and other parts in the ketubah,
yeah.
They want to appoint a sofer. I mean, is that the proper thing to have? A sofer fill in the rest of it?
Yeah, you should really have a sofer fill it in. That's the chumrah. Have the sofer fill it in block letters rather than have the rabbi write it in script. You should have a sofer do it in block letters because the whole printed ksuba is in block letters. Yeah, that would be more correct.
So yeah. What are you
doing Gittin today? Gittin today, we're makbid because get is a real din d'oraisa. It's nemechoshish for the Rambam. So we don't do b'shtei l'shonis, but a ksuba we always have. The ksuba is in block letters, and you fill in the missing lines in script. So some people know how to, so they fill it in block letters also. I don't know how to do that.
One rav might write a name one way, and another rav might write it in a different way.
Yeah.
Do they consult?
When you write a get, everybody's more makbid than by a ksuba. Yeah. By a get, they're more makbid than by a ksuba. I remember once I was at a wedding. So Moshe Feinstein was there, and there was another older European rabbi. I don't know who he was, somebody from New Jersey. I wouldn't know the name. So they were looking at the ksuba. They had a fancy ksuba that someone did with calligraphy. So they weren't going to change anything now because it was done very fancy. Someone had a name that was questionable how to spell it. So Moshe Feinstein looked at it. He didn't say anything. So the other European rabbi looked at it. He said, they spelled it wrong. The Beis Shmuel says, L'chatchila, he's supposed to spell it, whatever, with an aleph instead of a hey. The Moshe said, but it's good. See, the other one kept on saying, well, L'chatchila is supposed to be spelled like this. Moshe kept on saying, but it's good. So they're saying the same thing. But the machlokes was, is this called L'chatchila, is this called B'di'evit? So Moshe helped, that's B'di'evit. They already have this fancy calligraphy ksuba. Gonna tell them to have to rip it up and write a different ksuba. This is B'di'evit. Shas al-chak B'di'evit, Donny. Big deal. And the other one held, no, it's l'chatchila. He didn't give the ksuvia. He held that. That's called l'chatchila. It says in Hilchas Gittin, that a person has two names, Yankov Yisrael. So it says l'chatchila, you shouldn't write Yankov on one line and Yisrael on the next line. You should write the both names on the same line. If his name is Tzvi ben Elimelech, so you can write Tzvi on one line, ben Elimelech on the other line. But if he has two first names, Yankov Yisrael, something like that, Yisrael Meir, so you should write the both names on the same line. Why? Because he says in the Gemara in Chulin, Perak Elutrefus, that in the Sefer Torah, Kedor La'omer should be written on one line. So by Yos, of course, it's written on one line. There's no space in between. Kedor La'omer is one name without a space in between. So there is no such thing as a hyphen. You write half the word on one line, half the word on the other line. There's no hyphen in Hebrew. But a lot of old Sefer Torah have Kedor La'omer with a space in between. Kedor and La'omer. Like a bas, matrei bas meizahov. The father's name was meizahov. So meizahov with the two first names. So Mei Zahav, so according to this opinion, that Kedor La'imer is written with a space in between, the Gemara says it should be written on one line. So you see that even though it's two different words, but it's one name of one person, should be written on one line. So Bas Mei Zahav should be written on one line. Mei Zahav should be written on one line. So L'chatchila, we're machmed that if the guy's name is Yisrael Meir, you write it on one line. But Peri Eved, the get would be kosher. So there was a Maaseh Shohai, a woman told me she was some distant relative of mine. I don't even know how she's related. I didn't even get it. So I was one of the boys got married. So at his wedding, I found out that we were distantly related. And this woman was there too. So she was she's from that family. We're related, I don't know how. So she told me that she got married when she was very young. And it didn't work out. And after a month, she realized that she was only 17 or something. And her father was a rabbi in the Bronx. And they knew my father was Masada Gitna, so they called up my father and they said she needs a get. So she was falling to pieces, and my mother was talking to her in the kitchen when they were writing the get in the dining room, sure. And then, after they finished writing the get, so my father looked at the get, he realized that someone had two names, and the Sefer didn't know, so he wrote one name on one line, the other name on the other line. So L'chatchila is not good. But here the Shaila was, the girl was falling to pieces, she was only 17, and so she's going to have to come back tomorrow and go crazy again, all over again, the whole thing. And it was late in the afternoon. It was right before the Shkia. So if they would have to write another get, they wouldn't be able to do it that day. They would have to come back again tomorrow. So the girl would have to go through the whole rigmarole again. So at that time, you could call up Rav Moshe on the phone and ask the Shas. So the woman tells me that my father called up Rav Moshe Feinstein. And he said, that Shas had chakiri avidami for that chumrit, to write the two names on the same line, not such a wichtige chumra. So this is enough of the Shas Atchak to be mekel, that you should give the get away. They say, this also, the Moshe saw this fancy ksuba, so he says, but yeah, but it's good the way that that's called b'di yavid. Even though they didn't give the ksuba yet. That's called Shas Atchak, it's also called b'di yavid.
Maybe could they add it in? Could they just add an
aleph
or whatever?
You can add it in, but then you have to write on the bottom that we add it in. I was once at a wedding taka. The first time I went out of town to a wedding of a student, I went to Toronto. So they had a fancy ksuba that was all filled out. And then the one who filled out the ksuba didn't realize that the chosen had two names. So they had to add another name. So then they had to add Rabbi Felder was there. Rabbi Felder Zechan Lebracha. Gedalia Felder from Toronto was there at the wedding. So they had to add before the chasimus ha'edim that we added on the name Meir. On the fourth line, and on the sixth line, and on the eighth line, they had it right, there was added on. Otherwise, you can change the whole text of the of a shtar. You add on names, and then it tells a whole different story. So the Edom have to sign on the bottom. They couldn't sign. There wasn't enough room. There was enough room to squeeze in a line, but that could also be a ziyuf. So the Edom signed, and then Rabbi Felder wrote, but Levi Odua, that we added on the word Meir, the second name Meir, on the fourth line, on the sixth line, on the eighth line, and then the Edom signed again on the bottom. So that's a collector's item, his ksuba. The Edom signed twice. They signed first after the ksuba, then they signed again Akium, that they were the ones who added on the second name before they signed their name.
Did they sign the first time before or after they added in the second name?
After they added in the second name. But it could be mezuyif. It's yochel is that because you can add on. It could be that the names are added on later. You don't know. So that's why they had to sign a second time that we added on the names before we signed the first time. So the Gemara said that the Rishon spoke Aramaic as if there's a yichas to Aramaic. Yeah.
If they signed after they put in the second name, isn't that just signing on the shtar?
Yeah, but you look at it, so you can't. Later on, it's not a good shtar for a raya. Because maybe it was someone else, maybe the chassan is someone else. And who says that this guy's the one who obligated himself to give it a ksuba? Because it looks as if the name was added later. At every line, they kept on adding the second name later. So that's called Yochel Hizdaif. Then the Gemara has the famous comment, Zeh Sefer told us Sodom. Her HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Adam Rishon, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shodom, Dor 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 Shav Dor Dor Vachacham, Dor Dor Vesoifrov. Till he showed him the generation of Rabbi Akiva, Hosameh B'Sai Rosai, and Esatza B'Mesasa. Yeah, that's a famous Agarata. That the Rabban Shalom showed Adam Rishon all the future generations. He showed him the whole history of the world. they used to have debates with the Christians. The Christians believed in the Trinity. So they quoted Psukim where it talks about Niglu Elov Hu Elohim in the plural. So the Tanoim and Amram used to have these debates. They explain. Rabbi Yechanan says, Kol Mokim Shepokra Haminim. Some say the Minim Amikat Yeshua Notzri. It's a Rashi Tevis. Any pasuk that the Christians quote as a proof that there's more than one God, there's a Trinity. So in the same pasuk, on the next pasuk, you'll see that it's not so. So the Gemara shows every pasuk. Every time there's a pasuk that's in the plural, there's another pasuk. Out of respect, you say, Zay. You don't say, do. You say, ear. In Yiddish, you say in the plural. When you talk to, if you talk to a child, you say in the singular. When you talk to another nichbad, so you say in the plural. So out of respect for the Baruch Shalom, it says in the plural, and then it says in the singular to make it clear that there's only one God. Mm-hmm. I'll quote Psukim from Tanakh, yeah. Yeah.
So in a ksuva, since we're made out to write in script on a ksuva, so why can't we make out to write the name in English also?
Probably could. Probably could. It looked funny, because the minhag is that you write everything in Hebrew. Yeah. They probably could. The Gemara quotes all the Apikusim. They said there's more than one God, and all the Tanoim and Amoraim debated with them. It's not so. Yeah. How can it be, he says, that Apikorvi says to Rabbi Gamliel, how can it be on Lamites Amid Al, around 20 lines from the bottom? How can it be, whatever, there's a minyan, the Shekhinah is there. How many Shekhinahs are there? How can it be, whatever, there's a minyan, a difference in the Shekhinah is there. So why not? Sun shines all over, so the Shekhinah is all over. So Nishken Kash. Then the Gemara has a strange, and Apikori says, Rabba Bo, around 8 lines from the bottom of Lamites and Aleph. Apikori says, Rabba Bo, we all know that Rabban Shalom is a Kohen, as it says, V'yikhali Truma. Who takes Truma? A Kohen. Obviously, Rabban Shalom is a Kohen. A Kohen is not allowed to be Metame L'meisim. So how come he buried Moshe Rabbeinu? So Tosfos says, Takash. If the Rabban Shalom is a Kohen, so Tosfos says, no, it's one of the Zayin Kraven. We're all Banim Lamakim. So Rabban Shalom is allowed to be Metame. But the Kohen, once he's metame to the mason, doesn't he have to be metire himself? How the Rabban Shalom going to be tovel in a mikveh? It's impossible. It's impossible to measure a water, a body of water that should be big enough to hold the Rabban Shalom. It can't be tovel in a body of water. So the Rabbi Gamliel answers him back. Rashi says over here, he asked him a stupid kasha. So Rashi says he gave a d'chia d'achyeh. The second line from the bottom in Rashi, Chia Dachi V'Dorei Shalei Halchi. He says, the Pasuk says, Kol Asher Yavu B'Esh Tavir B'Mayim. So the simple pshat in the Pasuk, that's by Kiuli Klei Midyon. That whatever the Midyonim, whatever they broil treifas steaks on, so you need Libun. Whatever they cook the treifas soup in, so you need Hagola. So the Pasuk says, Kol Asher Lo Yavu B'Esh, whatever was not, didn't get a Bliya, Yidei Ho'esh, Tavir b'mayim, Yavu b'esh means libun. Tavir b'mayim means hagola. That's the simple pshat. So Rabbi Gamliel answers him back. Rashi says, "D'chi yedachye." Stop. The whole thing is a joke over here. the Rebbeinu Shalom is not mekabel tume. What's the whole question? Rebbeinu Shalom is a ruchni. He's not mekabel tume at all. But according to the kasha of that pikeris, so he says the Rebbeinu Shalom is a shaych lo. So if you best is to be toivel in eish. And second best is kol hashalo yavav eish. If you can't be toivel eish, tavir b'mayim. Then you can be toivel on water. That's second best. So the Rebbeinu Shalom became tume, it was toivel b'eish. So remember, the whole question was a silly question because the Rebbeinu Shalom is a ruchni. He's not mekabel tumah. But according to the question, that's a Rashi. The whole thing was a tchiyah dachyeh. The whole thing was not to be taken literally. So I remember once Rabbi Gerelikist, Rabbi Soloveitchik, Akasha, there was a meeting of Rabbein. So yes, the Makasha, if Moshe, I think the Das Kain in Bali Atesis has this Kasha. I'm Chumash. They said, Vikach Moshe, Satz Mes Yosef Imoi, Moshe Rabbeinu took Satz Mes Yosef, Satz Mes Yosef Ametamei. So how does Moshe Rabbeinu go into Oil Moed if he's Tamei? So without pausing, Rav Soloveitchik said, there was a Amud Ha'esh in front of Oil Moed. So Moshe Rabbeinu walked through the Amud Ha'esh, it was a Tvila Ba'esh. And he quoted this Gemara. He didn't think like Rashi that Tchiya Dachya. So he asked, Rabbi Galal said, but you need Harav Shemesh. You have to be Toivel in a Mikvah. You need Harav Shemesh in order to enter into the Beis HaMikdash. So he said, when it's Tvila Beish, you don't need Harav Shemesh. That takes the place of everything. That's the best. That's the best for you. I don't know. He takes this Gemara literally. And then he said, there's a Gemara in Avodah Zarah. There was a guy who was torturing one of the Tanoim to death. In the first parak, when they tell about the Harugei Malchus, the Asara Harugei Malchus, so he was torturing him to death, and he realized he's doing a terrible thing. So he asked him, "Will I get Olam Haba?" So he said, "If you don't torture me, if you start torturing me, you get Olam Haba." So he said, "But Olam Haba is only for the Jews." So he was mal himself. The goy was mal himself, then he jumped into the fire himself. So the Mefarshim asked, what does it help? He's mal himself. There's no geirus. In order to be a geir, you have to be mal. And you have to be, that's a question, can a geir be mal himself? Can a geir be mal himself? Because he's a goy. So is he able to be mal himself? They quote the Minchas Chinuch, I think, talks about this. They say, boin ka'achas.
Avraham Avinu mal.
Yeah, Ram Avinu had no choice. Yeah. So that's the Tshuva Nachasam Sofer talks about that. Avraham Avinu, how was he allowed to be mal himself? So he says, once the Rebbeinu Shlom gave him the tzivui that he's mechuyev to be mal himself, he's called a mohol even before he does the nilu. But no other ger is mechuyev to be mal himself. So maybe a ger is mal himself is like an oral. Doing the bris milah, and all doing the bris milah is no good. But he say boin keichot. Seems like they the bris milah. He becomes Jewish. Maybe it's okay. But he doesn't become Jewish with milah. And you have to have milah, and then you have to have tefillah. So after the milah is still a goy. So that's questionable. So I think the Minchas Chinuch quotes Rabbi Shlomo Molcho was mal himself. Shlomo Molcho was after the Spanish Inquisition, the early 1500s, so they had a lot of anusim, they had a lot of amaranos at that time. So he never had a bris milah. He was brought up as a non-observant, as a Catholic. And then when he was chayza b'tshuva, he was moisa nefesh to be chayza b'tshuva. They have him in the history books, they talk about Rabbi Shlomo Molcho. So he was mal himself. That's not the same. He was Jewish. He was Jewish. He was mechuyev to be mal himself. That wasn't a milah shel geiris. That was a milah because he was Jewish. A person who's older, there's a lot of imam himself. That's not a shayla. The shayla is what the ger can be mal himself. Anyway, that's what the Gemara says. The goy was mal himself, and then he jumped into the fire. So where is the tefillah in the mikveh? So Rav Soloveitchik said, like this Gemara, that the tefillah in the mikveh is, eish is better. Tefillah be'eish is better than tefillah b'mayim. So he said it by the ger, that Gemara, the goy who converted in the first parak on Avodah Zarah, and he said it by the Moshe Rabbeinu. He said, Moshe, I never realized that Moshe Rabbeinu walked through the Amud Eish. Is that what it says in the Chumash? I didn't even think. Yeah.
If the Atzmos Yosef were in an Aron, that was big enough to contain the
Tuma. I don't know. Yosef is Koyde Matan Torah, so that's a question. Are they Metamei Ba'ohel? We We spoke the other day, there's the Mishlam Melech has in his Sefer Parashas Drachim, the Jewish Sefer. So I think he quote, maybe he doesn't quote, maybe he does not quote this. There's a Machlokes Tosis in the Ramban at the end of Cheskes Abatim. The Gemara says Rabbi Bano'o was an Amora. It was his responsibility to be Mitzayin, the Ma'oras HaMachpela, to show where Kohanim are not allowed to go. In the days of the Tanaim, in the first parak in Moedkot, you have, there used to be Mitzayin as HaKvoris on Chol HaMoed. There used to be Mitzayin Kvorim to know where Kohanim are not allowed to go. So the Gemara is the only Mitzayin Kvorim if it's Mitami Ba'ohel. If it's only Mitami B'Magam Masa, so the Kohanim can go, because the dead body is 6 feet under. So the Kohen is not going to have Maga, is not going to have any Masa. If it's Mitami Ba'ohel, then you need a Tzion. So Tosfos says, from the fact that Rabbi Bano was responsible to be Mitzayin Boris HaMachpela, is he that there's somebody buried there who's Mitami Ba'ohel? So Tosfos in the end of Cheska Batim, yes, the Kasha, they're all going there. Adam Arishan and Chava. And Aram Yitzchak and Yankiv. They're all going. Kohen Matan Her, everybody was a goy. That's Tosfos Kasha. So Tosfos says, this din that a goy is not mitami ba'ohel, according to Rav Shimon Ba'ichoy, machlok Rav Shimon Ba'ichoy and Chachamim, according to Rav Shimon Ba'ichoy, because it says Adam ki omus ba'odom in Parshas Chukas. So Tosfos says Adam Rishon, his name was Adam, so he's mitami ba'ohel. Then Avraham Avinu was a goy, but it says he's referred to in Tanakh as Adam agadol ba'anokim. So Adam Rishon is Adam, and Avraham Avinu is Adam. So these two are mitami ba'ohel, despite the fact that they're goy. Ramban says, what are they talking about? Avraham Yitzchak Yankov were Jewish. What kind of pilpul? Tyson made a whole pilpul. So that's a machlokes, but the obvious Tzeidah Matan Torah had the din of the Noyach, or they had a din of Yisrael.
But the Roman torture doesn't say that the
Baskol
came out and said that
so
we see that it's true that the Ashes.
That the Geris was good. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know if that's what it means. That's Rav Soloveitchik's interpretation. He says when he jumped into the fire, that was a Tvila Be'esh, like Moshe Rabbeinu walked through the Amor Esh. That's what it says in the Chumash. I never realized that. It says Moshe Rabbeinu walked through the Amor Esh every day. So he says that was the Tvila. Okay.
I mean, how do we know that non-Jews don't have a portion of the body?
Tosfos quotes such a Rish. I think the Gemara says the goy, the executioner, said, but he understands that a non-Jew who didn't convert is not going to have mechenel kenal mabon. I don't know. That's what the goy said.
Is he right?
The Gemara says chasidim and mesarim have mechenel kenal mabon.
So he's wrong. So the
bat called
didn't mean anything then, because the bat he had a portion before.
He's saying he's one of the chasidim. You know,
you're
just saying that
he's, not that he's Jewish. It could be that he's just a tzaddik now. Don't know. Yeah. The Gemara says the Jews are always separate. Even though it says, Kol ha'goyim ke'ayin egdo, all the nations of the world are worthless. Mikam chizhogeach abarat. So Jews are different from everybody else. And one of you is, Omalei, the last line on Lamed Tes Min Aleph, one of the non-Jews, this is the Nevuah of Bilam. Bilam HaRasha said, Vagoyim lo yischashu, the Jews never blend in with anybody else. The Jews always stand alone.
How do we know that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't just do Parah Aduma to become Tavua before he went to Zohar?
Parah Aduma, you have to have Shishish, Hazor Shlishi Shvi. No, but every day he walked into the oil mine.
Yeah, but was he carrying the oil and Yosef every day?
I don't know. I think the Das Kenim asked the question. I don't know. Yeah. The Gemara says the famous Gemara, Kodesh Baruch Hu is not happy. Ain't a Kodesh Baruch Hu Samech, but Mapalos and Shal Rishon. Allah Mites on the days. The Gemara quotes the Medrash. What does it mean? When the Mitzrayim were drowning, so the Malachim wanted to sing. Hello, it's wonderful. So the Rabbanu Shalom said, that's not proper. He's not happy over the fact that there are Rishoyim who are punished. He has no choice. He has to punish them, but he's not happy over that. So he says, please don't recite Hallel. That's a famous Agarta, famous Pshat. There's another interpretation, but it's clearly not the Pasha Pshat in the Gemara. It's not at all the Pshat in the Gemara. That the armies of Sanherev died. So the Gemara says the Malachim were singing Shira, and the armies of Sanherev died Parcha Nishmasam. When they heard the Shira of Malachim, they died like a Mises Nishika. They died because it was so beautiful. So when the Mitzrayim were drowning, Bikshem Malach HaShoes Lama Shira, let's give them a break. Why they have to die choking to death from drowning? Let's sing Shira, and there will be Parcha Nishmasam from the pleasant, listening to the pleasant songs of the Malachim. So the Baruch Shalom said, what are you talking about? They were drowning the Jewish people, and you shall let them die such a pleasant death. Let them die the same way they killed the Jewish people. They drowned the Jewish babies, so we should let them drown also. Masi Aratov Mayam, my children, the Jewish people, they were drowning. But the Mamar Shira, you want to let them get away with dying with a Shira. They have to drown, they should suffer when they drown. The opposite. That's when the Jews were freed from the concentration camps, when the American armies came in and they were freed. So that's what they said at that time. A lot of them said they shouldn't let the Nazis get away with anything. They should torture them to death the way they tortured the Jews to death. But that's clearly not the Poshim Shat in the Pasuk over here, in the Agarita. Yeah. Okay, a lot of Agarita. What's all your boat, Kim? The Gemara learns that from Sukkim that there are Sheva Hakiris. What are the Sheva Hakiris? So the Mishnah says, Be'ezu Shavua. Which unit of Shemitah was it? Be'ezu Shana. Which year of the Shemitah year was it? Be'ezu Chodesh, what month? The Kamba Bachodesh, Be'ezu Yom, Be'ezu Shah, Be'ezu Mokum. The Rosameh has an interesting comment. He says, Be'ezu Shah, in the days of Matan Torah, it wasn't so common that they had a clock. There was no Be'ezu Shah. So he thinks that Matan Torah, the question would not be, the only question he asked was it in the morning or the afternoon? And only in the later generations, when it was more common to have, well, they still didn't have watches, but they had time clocks, sundials. I don't know, they didn't have sundials in the days of Matan Torah. I'm not sure what he means, but he says that the question Be'ezu Shah was changed in the later generations when clocks were more common. Interesting. So the Bezna has to be on the ball in order to see how to word the question. Then have to ask all the questions. Kalamabra B'digas HaReisim Shubach Maisa Barak Ben Zakkai. Umar says Ben Zakkai at that time didn't yet have any smicha. He was a Talmud HaYoshib Lifnei Rabbeisav. That's why they don't call him Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai. Rabban is when he was the chief rabbi. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, when he had smicha, this is before everything. It was still Ben Zakkai. He was known as Ben Zakkai. He was a Talmud. So he suggested they should ask Ktzeitanim. And then they were contradicting each other. There was Hakosh and Bedikas. So he told the Dayanim they should throw out the case. And they listened to him. They listened to the Talmud. They threw out the case. Yeah, what's the difference between Bedikas and Chakiris? If they contradict each other, Makrishim Zezer, you do some Matela. But if they say Eini Yodea, say Eini Yodea in Zman HaMokim is no good because Zeder Shati Ochel Azima. Eini Yodea in Bedikas will not be possible. Only if Makrishim Zezer then will be possible. So we spoke about that. According to one opinion in the Shach quoted in Machlokes, some hold that the Rambam said Eini Shati Ochel Azima is not acceptable but in the Foshas. Did Imam as it is acceptable. So that was the question. It's not only after they made the Takana de Rabban, you don't need Rishon HaChakirim and Did Imam, it's even before the Takana de Rabban. So the fellow who sits right over here, Schwartz, he had a Rambam, that the Rambam was explicit. He had a Beferish Rambam, that's only after the Takana. I don't know, somehow the Achranim weren't aware. His Rambam was in the middle of Malva Vilaiva or something. So the Shah quoted the two opinions about this. Some were of the opinion that on the level of the Raisa, you never need Eidesh at Yochel Azimah by Mominus. So what is the Gemara? Any Adair is no good in Zmanim Mokim. It sounds like it's no good in Dinah Nefashis either. So the Beis HaLevi gives a whole explanation. He says, that's not the reason why it's possible, because Eidesh at Yochel Azimah. If possible, because any idea means he never is chasa begufa shaledus. And Gemara just asks, why do you consider drisha v'chakira gufa shaledus? And Bedikas is not gufa shaledus. I said, because this can lead to hazama, that cannot lead to hazama. It's not that it's possible because eidus yat yochal azima. But haraya that the Rambam writes, if you have three witnesses and two give this man a makom, one says any idea. So the Rambam says the Eidus is good based on the two. Rashi and Tosfos say that Ninsech and the Hem Karva Pasul Eidus Kulim Betelo. The one who said any day on this Manam Akam is Eidus Yatiochal Azima. He can't even accept the other two. So why does the Rambam say that it is good? The Rambam also knows the Din. So Gemara says, Keman Kireba Kiva. Keman Daloi Kireba Kiva. So how did the Rambam read the Gemara? So the Rashash quotes the Lechem Mishnah, I think. The man has nothing to do with the din of Karva Pasul. Not that it's a contradiction to that din. It has nothing to do with Karva Pasul. Why? Because the three Adim, the two who said Zmanam Akim gave a Haggadah saves, one who didn't say Zmanam Akim. It's not that he can't be accepted. You can't accept this Haggadah because it's Eidus Yatiochal Azima. He never gave a Haggadah saves. Doesn't get off the ground. Doesn't get off the ground. Because if you don't say Zmanam Akim, it's not called the Haggadah saves. So that's really that Rambam that clinches it. That Rambam clinches it. So that's what the Beis Halevi says. That could be that. That's what the Gemara meant. Well, it didn't necessarily mean Eidus Yatiochal Azima. They just meant that Zmanam Akim can lead to Hazama. Therefore, it's considered Gufa Shaledus. If he calls mine, doesn't say the Gufa Shaledus. It's like any day. I don't know what happened. He wasn't as if he hadn't been there. Then the Gemara says, when is it a contradiction? So if one says Zechad B'chodesh, one says Shlosha B'chodesh, one says Sheni B'chodesh. It means it's an innocent mistake. It is a mistake, but let it be any day in his man amokim. The answer is, that's what Rav Soloveitchik said from his father, if it's a common occurrence that people are not such bikin, biburu shel chodesh, so the Chachamim would never require of them that they should know the such certainty what day of the month it was. Within a range of 2 days is good enough. If one says Echad, if one says Shlosha B'chodesh, one says Revi B'chodesh, so it's considered, they only require you should know within a day. Same thing, Ezer Shoah. If Adam Toyev the Shoah Achas, so if one says it happened at 3 o'clock, one says it happened at 4 o'clock, so it's as if they said the same thing. It's not that the people make an innocent mistake and therefore he's not lying. It doesn't help if he's not lying. If he made a mistake, he says, it's like any day in Zman HaMokim. It's not called any day. He doesn't have to know within a minute. He has to know within a range of an hour or two. Because since Adam Toya, since it's a common thing that people make mistakes, that would be in Shah today. Every other person wears a watch or who doesn't wear a watch. There are clocks all over the place. So if they ask the guy, when did it happen? And one is going to say it happened at 3:30. One is going to say it happened at 4 o'clock. That could be that today. That would be a HaKosha. Like Yor Samech says, if it's my modern Torah, they didn't ask Beis HaShoah, they just asked, was it morning or afternoon? So maybe today, can no longer say, Odom Toya B'Shoah Achas. Sometimes your watch is 5 minutes slow, 5 minutes fast, 10 minutes slow, 10 minutes fast. It's not going to be an hour and a half off. It's not going to be so far off. So it could be that we should change these dinim as modern Torah. We'll have a bezin, maybe they should change it. Okay, maybe we'll stop here. Very good. People around tomorrow?
Yes.
Tomorrow, let me check what time I am here.